To celebrate with our sisters. Thank you for the joy of bringing us back together, just to be able to hug one another again. Father, you have kept us. You have been faithful. You have not left us, oh Lord. Father, we are grateful for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your patience with us, oh Lord. Thank you for being a father more than any earthly father could ever be to us. Thank you for the love that you have poured upon us as your children. Thank you for you know our frame that we are but dust and you treat us accordingly. You do not expect, Father, more than we can ever give unto you. Rather, you are the one who gives us everything, the wherewithal to be pleasing unto you, the wherewithal to walk right before you, O Lord. Father, we bless you.
Amen.
Lord, we honor you. We thank you. As we hear your words today, Father, please bless us, O Lord. In the hearing, Father, help us to do also, we pray. Lord, put in our remembrance at all times throughout this week, every day of our lives, what we learn of you, Father, that we be not only hearers, but doers of your word. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I also pray, let your word be sweet unto us, O Lord. Let your word be something that we cherish. Let your words be like treasure in our hearts, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to share, by the way, Brother Wale is not here. He will have continued with the series, but he had to visit Atlanta for, who remembers Brother Femi Ehinero? Okay, Brother Femi Ehinero's father turned 80. And so he went to rejoice with them. So I'll be taking today as we'll continue next week by the grace of God. Now, today I want to just share briefly with us on a topic which we in the Burtonsville House Group, we have been looking into. And that is the topic of He's here. Christ is here. We've been looking into the seven churches of the book of Revelation. And there is, you know when we become Christians, after many years of walking with the Lord, sometimes we forget that God is actually present in our midst. And this is evidenced by sometimes the way we comport our lives in our everyday living. You know, when you are conscious that somebody is with you, there's a way you comport yourself. There's a way you behave yourself. There's a way you live your life. And if you are oblivious of the presence of a person by your side, sometimes you tend to be nonchalant or you tend not to take heed to how you live your lives from time to time. And so this is just, it's not that we do not know, but this is just a reminder for us to know that the Lord is in his church. The Lord is with us. And what I'm saying, I'm not saying this as a cliche. I'm not saying it as a soundbite. I'm saying it because I believe it and I know it. From the scriptures, how the Lord has dealt with us, the revelations that he has given us, it's for us to know that he is in our midst. The Lord is in his church. Now, it's not every time that the Lord opens the eyes of each and every one of us. How many of you have ever seen him physically? Nobody. It's not every time the Lord opens the eyes of his children to see into the spiritual. There have been occasions in the Word of God where some people's eyes have been opened to see into the spiritual. There have been occasions where some people have been taken bodily to other dimensions to see things. There have been occasions where some of us have seen things through dreams. There have been occasions where some of us have seen things through visions. I have never had a vision, but I remember somebody who had a vision who told us about his vision, said it was like his eyes were open and it was like a TV screen was just before him. And he saw certain things that were happening. I have never seen, but I have dreamt dreams that have come to pass. So God deals with each and every one of us in a different way. But the bottom line is for us to know that the Lord is real and he's in his church. Sometimes in the thing, I will guess that in the things of darkness, the eyes of people who are in darkness are more open to seeing things that they have to believe by sight than the eyes of the children of God who have to believe by faith. So it's not every time the Lord opens our eyes, because he wants us, though not seen, for us to still believe. Now, let me read a scripture about some things that we have also to be cognizant of the spiritual. Because the spiritual is around us, though we are not aware of it, we must never live our lives as if nobody is with us. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings. Rom, okay, you'll be my reader today. 2 Kings chapter 6. Ohosa, how are you doing? It's good to see you. 2 Kings chapter 6, and please start reading from verse 8. To 23. 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 8 to 23.
2 Kings chapter 6. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such place." But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord, the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elisha replied. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master." So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver.
All right, we shall do a small exercise real quick. Tisha, in your own words, tell me the story that your sister just read. No, we are looking at it. You listen.
Chariots came to Elisha, and he asked God for help so that they don't come to Samaria. And he asked God if he should kill them. And he said no. And then God told him, to give them food.
So that's the second part. There's a first part, something that happened. So, Fimio, you tell us that first part of what happened. And then maybe Keke can tell us also. So, Fimio, you start. What happened with the first part of it? Without looking at your Bible.
Yes. So I think what happened was the king, I'm not sure if he was at war with Israel, but Elisha was warned him not to go and attack like some area in this place or something like that.
Sorry,
Elisha was telling the king not to go and attack like, I'm not sure if it was an area or someplace in Israel. Mm-hmm. And he should be wary and took down warning him. Mm-hmm. And the king went to go and attack where he wasn't supposed to attack. And he was thinking that there's a spy or something in his kingdom because he wasn't able to get the Israelites, like their movements and everything like that.
Yes, he thought that was a spy because something was happening. All their plans were just being foiled. It was as if the Israelites knew what was going to happen. Then what happened after that? Continue from there.
And then the next morning, there were like chariots and I think it said troops like surrounding them. And Elisha told them not to be afraid. I'm not sure.
The servant Gehazi told him not to be afraid. Why?
God was with them.
How did God show that he was with them? Can anyone answer that? How did God show that he was with them?
God announced him to blind them, and then they became blind.
The soldiers became blind. Mm-hmm. But just before that, Elijah prayed for his servant Gehazi that God would do what? That God would open his eyes to see all those that were surrounding them. Okay, read that part where Elisha prayed for.
Okay,
Read from 15 to 17.
When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire.
So, Keke, you see what happened? The enemy, they brought all their soldiers and their chariots, and they surrounded the Israelites. And the companion of Elisha, or the servant of Elisha, was a young man, began to be afraid. And he went to Elisha, what are we going to do? Look at the soldiers and the chariots. If soldiers and chariots come like that, what are they going to do to the Israelites? Huh? They're going to kill them. Exactly. And he was so afraid. What are we going to do? Look, they surround us. And Elisha told him, don't be afraid. Those that are around us are greater than those who are these enemies. And he prayed, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. And what did God do? He opened the eyes of the young man. And the young man now saw what? God's chariots and troops of angels surrounding them. Surrounding them. Now, let me ask you all a question. Did God's angels show up when Elisha prayed? No. Where were they? They must have been there all along. But without the young man's eyes being open, did he know that there was angels surrounding them? No. Brothers and sisters, this is how God deals with each and every one of us. When we come to church, sometimes we don't worship God as if God is with us. When we live our lives, when you guys go to school, sometimes you don't talk as if God is with you. Sometimes you don't behave your lives as if God is with you. And I'm guilty of the same. Because there will be some things I would do differently if my eyes were to be open and I saw Jesus sitting down. But we have to come back to that place of knowing he is here. I said we've been going through the book of Revelation. Tony, can you go to Revelation 2 and read of the church in Ephesus?
To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands.
Sorry. Said, who does what? Who walks among the what? The seven golden lampstands. Kiki, do you know what those seven golden lampstands are? Yes, the seven churches, but those seven golden lampstands actually signify this church in general. The Lord walks amongst his churches. Which church are we in? New Covenant Church. But do you know that really this is not New Covenant Church? It's only New Covenant Church because we have to register as a church with the government. This church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we all get to heaven, Jesus will not ask, which church did you attend? Because you are in his church. New Covenant Church is only a name that is registered on earth. It is not known in heaven. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church in Hyattsville is known in heaven. The church in Buttonsville, the church in Lagos is known in heaven. It is not by the label we give because of the necessity for registering with the government. The only church that the Lord Jesus recognizes is his church, because he was the one that died for us. He was the one that gave his blood to wash us and redeem us back to himself. The Bible says that we are his workmanship. We are his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has not left us, because he's still working within the church. As we read in Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, he is the one who walks amongst the seven golden lampstands. Jesus Christ is still walking within his church. Now, one of the things I noticed was that the church in Ephesus, they were doing right. They started well. But the Lord Jesus Christ said something, that they had neglected their first love. Went on to talk to the church in Smyrna. It was a church under persecution. There was nothing that they had done wrong. He commended them and let them know that their persecution was still going to continue for a while longer. And every church that Jesus Christ walked in, he commended them for what they were doing right. He rebuked them for what they were doing wrong. And he told them they had to repent. But, you know, what I noticed was that even the church, and we had dealt about this, I think, a few years back, when we talked about the church in Laodicea, which was a church that was, I don't think there was anything they did right. Even that church, Jesus Christ was still working within that church. So it dawned on me that even the church that we say is wrong, and the church that we're saying everything is right, Jesus Christ is the owner of the church. And he will do as it pleases him with every servant of his, whether they are doing right or doing wrong. He has not put the cane of any servant in any other servant's hand. He's jealous for his church, because the church is called the bride of Christ. See my wife back there? No matter what she does, it's my wife. I cannot say anybody else should say, oh, go and rebuke her. It's my wife. I'm jealous for her. That is how the Lord Jesus Christ is jealous for each and every one of us. When we live our lives, we have to be conscious that because our eyes are not open to seeing angels or to seeing Jesus, doesn't mean that they're not here. When we dance and worship, do you know that there could be angels dancing and worshiping with us? Do you know that there could be angels that we do not see dancing and worshiping with us? Definitely, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking through his church, looking at how we are doing, looking at what we are doing. Each and every one of you, as you go home, because you represent the church, how do you live your lives at home? He's looking at how you are doing. Tishe, how you talk to your friends in school, how you behave yourself. He's looking at you. And I want us all to come back to that place of the consciousness of Christ in our midst and in his church. In the book of Hebrews, it says that those who come to the Lord, they must believe that he is. They must believe, we must believe that he is, he exists. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. We must believe that God exists, Christ exists, and he has proved himself, showing himself that he is the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And to each church, he's looking at, how are you doing according to what I have told you to do? If you are doing well, he will commend you. The things in which you are not doing well, he will rebuke you. And then he will tell you what to do. Because the church belongs to him. Even the church in Laodicea, he still told them, do this. And if you do not do it, I will do this to you. Because every church belongs to him. Belongs to him. There are many men, women, who try to take the church from Jesus, thinking it's theirs. They'll say, my church, my church. Nobody died for anyone. It's only the church belongs to Christ. And as long as we know that, we have to comport our lives in such a manner. Could you go on telling with the church in Ephesus?
I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, what we talked about for the church, it also applies to our very lives. In our homes, as we walk everywhere, God is with us. In Psalm 91, we read that he gives his angels charge over them. He gives his angels charge over us to protect us in all our ways, lest we dash our foot against the stone. The Lord does not leave us without a guardian, without himself guarding us. The Bible tells us that the evil one, the enemy, has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Christ has come to give us life, and that life more abundantly. When I was younger, before I became a Christian, you know, when you are young, you think you're invincible. You know, you think nothing can happen to you, right? You know that, right? When you're driving, you know that nothing can happen to you. That's how I thought when I was younger. I remember one particular day I loaded with my siblings and cousins in the car, you know. I remember, I think it was around Ikeja area. I was coming down one road. You know, the light had turned red. I don't think I saw the light. And then the road turned instead of going straight. You know those roads that you think is going straight, but it ends. So I was just speeding. Boom! How the car turned and deal some assaults till today, I can't explain it. You know, some things you do out of foolishness of you being young. Please don't do it. But I know that there are many occasions that the Lord has spared my life. There are many occasions, you know, out of things like that, that the Lord has delivered me from. How? I don't know, but I know that the Lord watches over me. And each and every one of you, the Lord watches over you. And I want you, young ones, to live your life knowing that Christ is with you. Jesus is here. What did I say? Jesus is here. And if you know that Jesus is here, would you live your life differently? I leave you all to answer that question for yourselves. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you because we know that your presence is within your church. You are jealous for your church because it belongs to you. You are the one who died for your church. You are the one who will cleanse your church. You are the one who will wash the garment of your bride and make it white. You have not given rebuke to any man. You are the one who rebukes your church yourself. And you do that which pleases you. So Lord, once again I pray, help us to comport our lives with the knowledge that your presence is with us. With the knowledge that your angels surround us. You are here. To each and every one of those churches, you walked through the churches. You are in your church. Father, please help us to understand this, to know this, and to live and walk each day with the knowledge of your presence with us. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.